All right, I'm going to tell you up front, right off the bat, this is probably going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. But I think this can be one of the types of sermons or types of lessons that you will remember because of the unique character of it. I got the thought for this message, well, I've had it for a couple weeks, and I've been trying to put it together, so I worked on it earlier this week before we left to go for a couple days to move, and got the information to Brother Carl, who does a fantastic job, by the way, with our multimedia. If you're watching online, the reason you can see me is because of our Brother Carl. He does fantastic work back with our sound. He does everything, and he really does do a really good job, and I'm thankful for that. I'm going to talk to you this morning, and I'm going to give you my title right off the bat, because when I give it to you, everybody's going to look at me the same way. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on the pattern of the goose. The pattern of the goose. Now, let me ask you before we get started, how many of you know what a Canadian goose is? How many of you have ever seen a... Now, actually, I learned this in studying for this message. They're actually not called Canadian geese. They're called Canada geese. So you're supposed to just say Canada, not Canadian, but you're going to hear me say Canadian a lot. How many of you have ever seen a Canada goose? Okay, well, if you go to Lakeshore Park with us, you're going to see some Canada geese. They're everywhere. I've been observing them because I walk in the park almost every morning, and they're everywhere. And I started to observe them, and God started to speak to me spiritually, and he said, I want you to study the pattern of the goose. Now, how many right now, you live in Ashtabula, Ohio, you hate Canadian geese? Most people that interact with geese don't like them. My daughter-in-law that I told you a few moments ago is now expecting child. She came up during last summer, and we went to Lakeshore Park one evening after we went to eat, and we were feeding the geese at the pond, and she had her wedding ring on, and she's got food in her hand. And I'm just over there. I'm getting them all riled up. I'm trying to feed. I'm just throwing food all over the place so the geese would come around us. She starts screaming. I turn around, and the goose had a hold of her ring trying to pull it off of her hand. And I watched her become a little bit violent with this goose. But geese have a tendency. They have a reputation because they do some things, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to give you, I want to tie this in spiritually, but I want your mind to think about the pattern of a goose. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. I'm going to read from the first chapter of the book of Romans, a very powerful portion of Scripture, and I'm going to tie it in and talk to you about the pattern of the goose. Romans 1 and 20, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, "For the invisible things of him," talking of God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that ye are without excuse." I want to read that one more time. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What Paul is writing here is saying that we can clearly see the invisible spiritual things of God by looking at and understanding the things that he created. So when we look at creation, when we look at nature, when we look at things in our physical world, it gives us the ability to see them, to clearly see them, and it allows us to understand spiritual things. What Paul's talking about specifically in this passage is the Godhead. Now, I'm not getting into this at all. I'm not going to dig into this mess. We as apostolics are oneness believers. We believe in the oneness, the deity of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is writing right here is saying the Godhead, the deity, the fullness, the nature of God is understood if you look at nature. And it says you're without excuse. Now, I'm not here to cast stones, and I'm not here to rattle theological sabers with anybody, but most of the modern Christian world believes a doctrine that they call the Trinity. And the Trinity, in its own definition, says that the Trinity cannot be fully understood. And Paul, writing to the Roman church, and I don't know if you're well aware, Rome is the seat of the doctrine of the Trinity. It's the city that sits on seven hills. And he says Godhead, which is the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But Godhead and Trinity are words that can be used synonymously. It's talking about trying to describe the all-encompassing nature of God. Paul writes to the church at Rome and says, by looking at nature, you can understand the spiritual things of God, including his Godhead, so that you are without excuse. So when people tell me that the Godhead cannot be understood, I take them directly to Romans 1 and 20 and say the Apostle Paul believed that the full nature of God can be understood clearly by looking at the things that he created. One of those things that he created is this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bird. See, did you hear that? That's a sign from heaven. That's a sign. I want you, when you leave this place, I hope you get so inspired that you go right to Lakeshore Park and feed the geese before you go home today. We are instructed multiple times throughout the scripture, it's everywhere, to study or focus on or consider or learn from various aspects of nature. How many of you like nature? How many of you like to watch nature? Now, it could be wildlife, it can be plants, it can be the weather, it can be any of the things that on the first 6 days God created. He created all of these things. And if we read and understand scripture, most of the things that God created, almost all of the things God created, he created for mankind. He created for us to enjoy. How many of you are afraid of animals? Okay. How many of you are afraid of snakes? Okay, you're looking at a pastor that's scared to death of snakes. But the scripture tells me that God gave me dominion over the animal kingdom. Okay, don't get on my side yet because you don't know where I'm going. I was golfing one time with my brothers, and I hit a drive, and it got off to the right, and it went down into a little creek. We were golfing at a course called Walnut Run in Cortland, Ohio. And I'm looking for my ball because we had a rule, if you could find your ball, it didn't count you a stroke. So sometimes we falsely found we had a ball in our pocket, and we'd use our foot wedge, and we'd drive, oh, I found it. Well, I'm looking for this ball, and I look, and it's down in this creek. And at the creek, there had been some rain, the creek's running. So I'm like, I found my ball, I'm going to play it. So I take my wedge out, I'm going to play it right out of there. I'm not even going to move it, I'm going to hit it out of the creek and try to get up as far as I can. And I go to hit it, and I line up over the ball, and I address the ball. And right as I go to address it, two snakes right around my ball. I jump. Well, if you have earthly brothers, you understand this. My brother's like, you have to play it like it. No. Play it right there. I'm like, dude, I'm scared to death of snakes. They're like, I don't care. If you pick it up, you got to take a stroke. I'm like, I ain't taking a stroke. So I get up there and I start preaching to myself. And I say, God gave me dominion over these snakes. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus on this golf course. I'm going to speak to the snakes. They're going to listen. My brother's like, you are an idiot. So I'm like, I took my club like He-Man, I stuck it up in the air, and I said, I have dominion over you, and I'm taking it right now. And I stepped down into the water, and I swung as hard as I could, and I hit a rock. And you ever hit a rock when you're golfing, and you, oh, my wrist, the whole rest of the round, my wrist hurt so bad. And every time I complain about it, my brother's like, yeah, but you got dominion. You got the dominion. I'm like, shut up. I'm going to take dominion over your face. In about 2 seconds, you'll shut up. But God created all of this for us to enjoy. You are supposed to enjoy God's creation. You are supposed to take a few moments and stop and smell the roses. You are not supposed to be so overburdened with grief and anxiety and depression all the time. You're supposed to get out. The sun makes you feel better for a reason. It's because God designed it that way. He wanted his people, his most prized possession, to enjoy his creation. So he gave us the animal kingdom to enjoy. He gave us flowers and the weather to enjoy, and we should enjoy that. And many times in Scripture, many times, I'm going to cite two of them, but they're all throughout Scripture. I was going to sing a song for you this morning. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not feeling that well. Any of you old-timers know the song Consider the Lilies? Have you ever heard the song Consider the Lilies? Maybe I should sing it. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read it to you. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Very familiar portion of Scripture that kind of goes along with two of these examples of going to nature to understand or learn spiritual things of God. Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote this. It says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." He's saying, go watch ants. How many of you like ants? How many of you boil water and pour them on ants? That's what my mom used to do. We'd come out. We always got an ant hill right next to our porch. And when we'd come out, they'd be all active. My mom would be like, she'd get a big kettle, boil the water, pour them right on the ants. It says, go to the ant, go to it, thou lazy person, that's what it's saying, and consider her ways and be wise. The ant, having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provides her own meat in the summer and gathereth food in the harvest. The spiritual lesson that Solomon is saying by observing an ant is if you are not lazy and you're willing to work, you don't need someone to tell you how. You don't need someone to always be on your case. You don't need a boss all the time. You don't need an overseer. Go to the ant and learn this. Be wise. Without any of those things, without any instruction, without any organization, without anything, ants are able to provide meat for them in the summer, and they have enough that they harvest. You ever watch a bunch of ants? You ever see an ant carrying a leaf 13 sizes bigger than them? Do you know ants are able to carry like 20 times their body weight? God didn't just design that for us not to learn something spiritually. Let me tell you something, and I want to be very plain. If you will live for God with everything you have, you can do it. You can make it. There's a reward for you. Amen, Brother Mike. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read you Jesus' words as just one more example of him instructing us to go to nature. And this is where that song comes from. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is probably his greatest sermon. Matthew 6, 28 and 29 says this, "And why take ye thought for raiment?" He was talking to some poor people, and he said, "Why on earth do you get so worked up about not having clothing? Don't you understand who I am? Why take you even thought for rain?" How many of you thought about what you were going to put on this morning? I hope you did, because you should. I did. I thought, what can my wife iron for me so that I can go to church? That's what I have to think about. She usually comes in every Sunday morning. She says, what do you want to wear? And I say, get it. I don't care. Pick something out. And she picks it out and she irons it, because if I had to iron it, I would look a lot different. I would look like the ant. But Jesus said, why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't work. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You ever go driving down the highway? I did it yesterday. You go driving down a highway, you go on a long trip, and you look over the field that no one has touched in years. No one's landscaped it. No one's sprayed chemicals. No one's put fertilizer down. It's just a wild field, and it's beautiful. The flowers are all in full bloom. There's no dead spots. It's lush and green. And Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking, he said, I want you to consider the lilies. I want you to take a moment when you get overwhelmed with life, and I want you to look at the lilies. they toil not. There ain't a lily out teaching the other lilies what to do. One of the lilies doesn't uproot himself and work hard all day. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon, who I just read, was the wisest man that ever lived. And if you read the book of Solomon, he was probably one of the wealthiest men that ever lived. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He did everything. He had so much gold. Okay, let me give you an example of who Solomon was. Solomon was Elon Musk. He had more money than anybody. He had more money than he could spend. He had 1,000 wives. You better have a lot of money. You need a lot of money. He started zoos. If you read the book of Solomon, Solomon was the first person. It talks about the apes and the peacocks that he would capture from all over the world and be brought to Jerusalem for him to enjoy. He started many of the cities and civilizations of that time. They had indoor plumbing thousands of years ago. Solomon was very wealthy. He was very well-to-do, and he was very well-dressed. But Jesus said, consider the lilies. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as one of these. He goes on in that same issue, in that same sermon, and he says, consider the sparrows. He talks about the birds, how they don't do anything. They just go down on the ground and God provides them meat and they live. And he says, are ye not better than the birds? God gives us example after example in nature that we can learn spiritual lessons from. So now we're going to get to where I'm going. And I've asked Brother Carl to do something so you can have a visual, because I know when I start talking about this, some of your looks are going to be like, what in the world? You're going to get a little bit of hindsight or insight into what Brother Mike does every morning, because this is my walk. Look at them beautiful creatures. Now, how many of you, when you see them, all you can see is the astronomical amount of what they leave? It's everywhere. Look at them. How many have ever been chased by a goose? Do you ever forget it? I laugh. It makes me laugh because they get real low to the ground and they look like snakes. Their neck is out. And I'm like, you could just kick them. Like, I don't know why people are afraid of them. But let me give you something. We're going to talk a little bit naturally and I'm going to tie it in spiritually, because I want to talk to you about the pattern of the goose. And I'm going to say this definitively. As the pastor of this church, my goal is for us to become like the goose. I want us to pattern our church after the pattern of the goose. Now, who in here wants to look like a goose? Who in here wants to raise their hand to ask me if I think you already do look like a goose? How many of you act like a goose? Are any of you old, like school, like my wife's family, and they say, like, you do something funny, they call you a silly goose? Okay. I want your mind to think about geese. Here's something you may not know. I'm going to give you some facts about geese. Canadian geese are monogamous. I did not know that. They have one partner their entire life. You can call it husband and wife. The male, which is called the gander, and the female, which is called the goose, when they decide to mate, they mate exclusively their entire life. I should move on, but I have to say it because I just got to get myself in hot water anytime I can. We ain't got humans that can do that. But wild geese that we think are a nuisance are monogamous. They are migratory birds, which means they usually leave the place that they're born, fly somewhere, and then when they begin to nest and they lay down roots, they nest in the same place the rest of their lives. They're monogamous, so the husband and the wife, now I'm saying those facetiously, I don't think they have a goose ceremony, but they stay together their entire lives, and they nest in the same place every year. So the geese that we will see at Lakeshore Park were probably not born there. They came here from somewhere else. They liked it here, so they stay here for their entire life. Now, how many of you wish they would just go back where they came from? Let's learn, consider the goose, and let's learn spiritually. Geese have a pattern to what they do. Now, this is what I want to talk about first, because I only want to talk about two aspects of why I want our church to pattern ourselves after the geese. And this is the first one. Say this word with me. Reproduction. This is the adult class. We're going to talk about reproduction with geese. Male geese begin reproducing at the age of 3 years old. Females begin reproducing between the age of 3 and 4. The average goose lives to be between 11 and 12 years old, but they have been known to live all the way up to the age of 24, and they start producing at 3. They only have one, and I'm just going to call it because I don't know exactly what it's called. They call them their gooselings, but they have one litter, essentially, a year. A female goose averages to lay 2 to 9 eggs a year, and roughly, if you average out every goose in the world, an average of 5 of those 9 survive. So a male and a female pair of geese reproduce and create 5 new geese a year, starting at the age of 3. They live to be about 11 or 12, so they have 8, 9, 10 good years of reproduction. So most female geese create between 30 and 50 new geese in their lifetime. That's why if you go into an area that has 0 geese and all of a sudden you see 2 geese show up, hang around a couple years and you're going to have a whole lot more than 2 geese. That's why they go crazy. I read an article yesterday of a park closer to Cleveland where they have made the decision to come in and they're going to have ODNR euthanize the geese. What they normally do is because they become such a nuisance, because they take over places, they come in and what they'll normally do, they start with loud noises. They'll bring in these speakers and make a bunch of loud noise to try to scare the geese somewhere else. Then what you'll notice, Lakeshore Park is like this, and I think most of the parks, Walnut Beach, all the park, Conneaut, I think is the same way. They don't allow dogs. You can't bring your dog to the park because if you turn a dog loose, dogs will chase geese away because geese don't like dogs. So a lot of times when they're trying to push the geese out, they'll bring in dogs. That's the next step. It normally doesn't work because once they start realizing that human beings feed them. Now, these geese right here, as soon as they see me, you think they give me a hard time? Oh, it's like, I feel like Jesus when I walk through Lakeshore Park. The multitudes just come for the loaves and the fishes. The little ones, they're so cute. If you don't like geese, there's something like you're just a mean-spirited person. Like, now when they're older, they're not as cute. When they're babies, they're the cutest things you've ever seen. And they come running. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But they produce. They reproduce. Can I be very plain for a few moments? The number one reason our churches are in the shape they are in is because we've stopped reproducing. Now, I'm going to go twofold because I think every scripture has a twofold meaning. I think it has a literal meaning, and I think it has a spiritual meaning. The reason America is declining as a nation is because families have stopped reproducing. Let me ask you something and just be honest with me. Don't think that I'm pointing finger of blame because I'm just as guilty. I was raised in a family that had 4 children. I have 2 brothers and a sister. I would have had other siblings, but my mom miscarried a daughter, would have been my sister. She passed away right after birth. There would have been five kids. My dad came from a family that had seven kids. His dad came from a family, I think, that had 13 kids. They came from families that had 16, 17, 18 kids. Now, let me show you how reproduction can create and can also take away. These pair of geese, this gander and this goose, have five babies a year. The next year, they have five babies. The next year, they have five babies. How many is that? But wait, the first five are now reproducing, and they're having five babies, and they're having five babies, and they're having five babies. So that's 15, that's 30. No, because both of their first are now reproducing and reproducing, reproducing. It's called synergy. It's a scriptural principle. That's why the Bible says if one can put 10 to flight, two can put 1,000 to flight. Doesn't even make mathematical sense. If one can put 10, two should be able to do 20. But the scripture says two can put 1,000, or you can put 10,000. And what it's showing you is when you reproduce, it creates energy. The reason America is in the shape it's in is because we have smaller families than we've ever had. The reason the churches are in the shape they're in. Imagine church in 1930. If you had four strong families, you had 100 people in your church. Because the mom and the dad came, and their seven kids came, and they could bring a friend, and then those seven kids all got married and had five kids, and they kept reproducing. But what has happened is the family size has gone from 10 to 7 to 4 to now everybody wants to have one baby and spoil them. And what we've claimed is the enemy destroying us has nothing to do with Satan at all. We have willingly chose to stop reproducing. I'm as guilty as anybody. We had two sons. There was nothing physically wrong with either one of them. There was nothing physically wrong with my wife and I. We were still relatively young. We could have produced more children. We didn't want to. You know why? Because we wanted to go on vacation. And we wanted to have money. And we wanted to enjoy life. And we wanted to be able to give, we said the same thing every parent said. We wanted to be able to give them the life that we didn't have and give them the things, the monetary and material things that we didn't have. And what we've done is we've willingly, we made the choice to reduce our family. That's what we did. Right, wrong, or indifferent, there's all kinds of discussions on each side of the aisle, but the truth is, we chose to stop reproducing. We've done the same thing in the church. Blessed quietness. Brother Mike's going to preach for a couple of minutes. I'm not talking about geese anymore, but I want to use them as the pattern. I didn't win five people to the Lord last year. I was faithful. I had perfect attendance. I paid tithes on every paycheck I received. I gave in offerings. I went to conference. I taught Bible study. We added new things here to the church. I believe we're on a better organized path than we were before. There's a lot of things going for us. We've got a lot of momentum moving forward, and I'm thankful for all of that. But I didn't reproduce. There are not five new human beings in this congregation because of my wife and I. There's not. If we were geese, there'd be at least five. And you know what we'd be doing? We'd be working on the next five. And you know what we'd be doing? Is we'd be turning the first five loose to go work on their five. Let me tell you what the Bible says to do. Let me give you the scriptural aspect of this. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. This is talking about spiritual reproduction. This is the pattern the church needs to follow. You ready? and the things that thou hast... Now, this is Timothy. This is what's called a pastoral epistle. Paul is writing this to his son Timothy in the gospel because Timothy has taken over a church, and Paul is teaching him how to run a church as the pastor. This is a pastoral epistle. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, those same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Can you see the reproduction? Paul says, Timothy, you are my son. Not physically. Paul is not Timothy's biological father. He's his father in the gospel. He calls him his son in the gospel. He reproduced Timothy, and he tells Timothy, the things that you learned from me, commit those things to other men. Reproduce into other men. I've made you a preacher. I've installed you as a pastor. As the pastor, your job is to create other preachers and their job who shall be able to teach others also. We as saints of God, our job from God is not to take up a church pew. God did not call us to sing special songs. God did not call us to just come and occupy till he came. The spiritual pattern of the goose is for us to reproduce. We should be winning people to the Lord. It's not always everybody else's job. A church grows astronomically when everybody in the church is reproducing. Now listen, I'm not asking anybody here to naturally reproduce. I'm not giving you an edict from the platform for you to go out and get pregnant. Although if you notice this, young churches never have a problem with children's ministry. I just moved my son and daughter from Dayton. In Dayton, there's multiple apostolic churches. My son and daughter were in a group for new parents. In 1 year in their church, they had over 20 babies born to members of their church. Now you tell me that they ever have a struggle with getting kids to come to church. Because they choose to reproduce. Listen, I'm not trying to bawl anybody out because I think, like I said, we're moving in the right direction. But I think sometimes we have the wrong goal in mind. It is God's will. The scripture says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. For what reason? What's the end of the scripture? We love the highways and the hedges part. We love talking about bringing in those that aren't saved. We love that. But we don't read the whole scripture. We take it out of context. It says, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. It is God's will. You want a word from the Lord this morning? Tune your ears up. God wants you to bring people with you next week. I didn't get one clap. I didn't get one amen because I'm putting the... God wants you to start reproducing. He wants you to reproduce. He wants you to teach a Bible study. He wants you to visit the sick. He wants you to bring... He wants you... You don't have them. I'm not reaching that far because I don't have a gooseneck. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to take these when you leave and pass them out. They're in the back of your pew. They're right in front of you. God wants you to talk to somebody about church. God wants you to send a text. He wants you to send an invite. He wants you to host a Bible study. He wants you to go after church and walk down on the beach and pass these out to people. He wants you to promote the church. He wants you to share things on social media. He wants you to talk about him in public. That's what God is designing to do. Do you think the geese care about what you think? How many of you here hate geese? There's a lady who lives right across the street from Lakeshore Park. I walk past her house. It's the funniest thing because the geese, I call it the Charger Light Brigade. It makes me kind of think of Brother Dan because of his military prowess. He likes to talk about military things. In the morning, you'll see them. They come up off the beach, and they start walking through the parking lot, and they're in a group. And Lakeshore Park has that grassy area right there, and there's the rock garden, and there's a big hill. And then you walk up the top of the hill, and that's First Street. And there's all those houses there. And if you get there just at the right time, you see them. I call it the Charge of the Light Brigade. It looks like a military. It looks like an army. They just start walking. And they start cresting that hill. And it's like they're going into battle. Like it's D-Day. They're coming up over. They're trying to take an embankment. And there's a lady that lives on First Avenue. I've met her. I've talked to her. She's actually from Niles, but she lives here now. She's been up here for like 50 years. She has a laser. And she said green is the one they really don't like. She has this laser that she bought off the internet. And you see them come up over the hill, and you can hear them. And they're coming. They got the little babies with them. They come up over the hill, and she comes out of the house. One hand, a broom. The other hand, the laser. And she starts shining it across the ground, trying to scare them. And if it doesn't work, she hates them. And you know what happens every day? They just keep coming. They just keep coming. You know what happens next year? They keep coming, but there's 20 more of them. They keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. You know what happens 2 years from now? There's 60 more of them, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. Can I talk to you spiritually? Can I please, for the love of God, get you to get a spiritual thought in your mind? We're sitting back letting the devil stop us when we need to be reproducing and just keep coming and just keep coming. And when the devil says, I took 2 people out of your church, we put 16 more in. I took somebody out. I took your life. I took them. We got 20 more coming, and we just keep coming, and we just keep coming, and we just keep producing, and we just keep producing. We keep teaching Bible studies. We keep being faithful. We keep doing what God has called us to do. We keep committing our ways to faithful men. And then we tell those men, you go get some men. And tell those men, you go get some men. Ladies, bring everybody in your prayer group. Bring them all to church. Get the whole family here. Get your grandkids. Get your nieces. Get your nephews. Get your neighbors. Fill the whole house up. Don't worry about what they look like. Don't worry about what stage they're at. Get them in the house. Fill the house. Fill the house. Fill the house. Reproduce. 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 That's the pattern of the goose. They ain't worried about what you think. You know what? This whole building hates geese. And you know what they're doing today? They're reproducing. There are going to be more of them for you to hate later on. You hate the geese this year. Wait if God tarries, because there are going to be 60 more of them down there next year. Well, I'm going to hate them more next year. That's all right. They're going to be 120 in 2 years. There they are. Look at them. Those are my buddies. You don't like them? Fooey on you. I hope they come in your yard. I hope they poop on your truck, Amber. How many of you know what's going on Lakeshore Park? I got 5 minutes and I got to get to the end. How many of you have been to Lakeshore Park recently? How many of you noticed the swans are gone? I'm going to tell you, welcome. The swans are kind of like the geese. They're monogamous. And they stay in one area. If they have food, they won't leave. They bring in swans because swans are territorial. And that swan, I called him Rutherford. I don't know what his name was. But he ruled that pond. If you fed him, he bit your shoe. I'd feed him every morning. I'd feed him, and if I stopped dropping food, the minute it stopped, he started biting my shoelaces. He wanted fed. He wanted fed now. So for a couple weeks, I didn't see him. I stopped the worker. I said, what happened to the swan? Where's he at? He said, we had to sell him. I said, why? He said, well, his female died. And he lost his mind. He didn't have his woman there. Now, what the worker said is not appropriate for church, but you can just imagine, this is the adult class, we're talking about reproduction. He said the male got even more territorial and started killing all the other ducks. And they said they had domesticated ducks that they paid big money to have in there, and he killed a bunch of them because he lost his mind. So they said they sold him to a farmer that has a pond where he can be kind of by himself and it doesn't matter. I said, are you getting a new one? He said, we're thinking about it right now. Reproduction's important. You know why? Because we have predators. The geese aren't apex predators. They're not at the top of the food chain. You know what geese don't like? They don't like dogs. They don't like wolves. They don't like coyotes. They don't like hawks. They don't like those eagles that fly around that we love. So what do they have to do? They have to keep reproducing. They got to keep reproducing. Can you remember the old-time families that reproduced? Ever hear the play Cheaper by the Dozen? You know what the thought of that was? How many of you kids came from big families? How many of you know the only reason your parents had you was cheaper labor? Nowadays, we have kids because we love it. Like, I have a granddaughter, and I have another baby, and I'm like, oh, back then, you had to have a kid every year because someone had to milk them cows, and someone had to go out in that field, and someone had to go collect eggs. Someone had to do that stuff. Nowadays, we let the kids off real easy, and we wonder why our world's messed up. We need to keep reproducing. And what we need to do, and what the point I want to make is, the geese don't wait at 3 years old. They start reproducing. Can I say one thing and then we're going to move on to next, step number two? Can you please stop telling your pastor that you don't know enough scripture to teach a Bible study? I want to be plain. If you've been here 3 weeks, if this is your third service here, you need to connect yourself and get busy working for the church. Amen, Brother Mike. There is something that you can do to help this church begin to reproduce. And you're not doing it because you don't want to. Amen, Brother Mike. We're going to go to step number two. Here's what geese are known for. Canadian geese are extremely, extremely protective of their young. Ganders. Now, how many ever heard this in nature? What happens if you get between a female bear and her cubs? It's a real simple two-word answer. You die. That's what happens. Because they're going to kill you. Because it's known throughout nature that the female protects the young. If you get near the babies, you're in trouble. With geese, it's the opposite. When you get chased away from a goose, that's the male. That's the gander. When you see them, they're snake neck, and they look real low to the ground, and you almost want to see them get their bill caught on a speed bump and like flip over the top. Because they're running so fast with their neck real low, that's the male. He's protecting his family. Now, but I want to go one step farther. While geese primarily protect their own young, the group collectively defend everybody. It's not like that with most animals. I've watched it happen. I wanted to get a picture, but they did it too quickly. If Brother Carl scrolls through these pictures, you'll see different aspects of right in the same area. There was probably 75 geese here that morning. And when I come walking up the street, they're making all kinds of noise. They honk, and then the peacock's over there going nuts because they're always trying to get his food. So he's out there strutting around. I feel bad for him. The worst animal to be, thank God you weren't born a female peacock. I feel so bad for that. They need to let her loose because that dude's a knucklehead. He's always in front of her. She just tries to go. They put a house. She tries to run around the back. He goes around the back, gets his feathers all caught in the fence, chasing her. Always strutting like a peacock. Anybody know any males that are peacocks? Some of you women, don't raise your hand. You know them guys. They always dressed up, always smooth. The Romeos, the Casanovas. Anybody in here? Any of you men ready to raise your hand and be like, I'm a peacock. That poor female peacock, they need to let her loose. Don't tell him what he does when nobody, that's when everybody's looking. But the geese were going crazy that morning. They were, and I started walking up. And I don't stop. They don't bother me. They get out of my way. I walk the same speed. This is how I walked at the park. And I'm walking. There's all these geese. And they're out in the middle of the road. And I'm like, you're going to move. You're going to move. All of a sudden, they went silent. They all stopped honking, but their mouths kept moving. So they turned their, like, not making it. And I watched every one of them little ones, every one of them. They were up on the hillside. They weren't paying attention. They were just four. And it was a sound I couldn't hear. But they started making some sort of communication because all them little ones ran and got into a straight line. There's 50 of them. They got into a straight line, and those bigger ones formed a circle where they were between me and them. I watched them go down into the water. I told my wife, because my wife teaches preschool, and she takes kids on field trips, and it's literal chaos because you can't get kids to listen. You ever wanted to, you want to see the textbook definition of chaos? Wait till we have 15 kids in Sunday school. Let them get down there for about 20 minutes and get started, and then go down and watch what's going on in the basement right now. It's called apostolic Pentecostal chaos. Kids just do whatever they want. These geese, there's one of them right there. See the little one? They're molding into their new colors, so they're not yellow anymore. They all ran into the middle and just stood there. Complete attention. They went down to the water. The one adult got in first, and I'm not joking, it looked like an engineer designed it with a laser. Every foot, a space, geese in a straight line swimming out into the water. Adult in the front, adult in the back. We need to do the same thing. Here's what happens in churches. That's why they struggle. We have no problem getting visitors. They have no problem enjoying the presence of God. We can't retain them because we don't protect them. We leave them to their own devices. They get the Holy Ghost, and we just throw them into the group. Who goes up to them and says, "I want to take you under my wing. I want to teach you a Bible study. I want you to get connected with my family." No, we're all in our own hurry because we have our own things going on. What geese do is, in addition to being worried about their own, they protect the group. I've been preaching it for a long time, and I know we're getting closer, but we're not there yet. I'm here to tell you something, Sister Darlene. When my grandchildren matter as much to you as your grandchildren, you're going to see a blessing in your grandchildren. When your children matter as much to me as my children matter to me, I'm going to see a blessing in my children. When the person that sits across the church is as important to you as the person that sits across your living room, we're going to see some things, because God's not only going to take care of this person and you, he's going to take care of that person in the living room too. But until we do it, God's not going to bless over people that don't esteem their brother, their sister, and the new over themselves. The geese stand in the gap to give the young a chance to get to maturity. You know what makes me sick? Can I be your pastor for 5 minutes, please? And then we'll shout and do all that stuff. You know what makes me sick? I'm talking sick. Like, I need prayer because I get sick. I have anger problems that I go to God with, because when I get angry about stuff, I can't get it out of my head. And let me tell you something that makes me sick. If you're guilty of this, listen, let me be clear. You make me sick. I hate hearing stories of adults that know there is sexual abuse going on in their families, and they let it happen because they're afraid they'll lose their husband or their boyfriend. I told you I want to be plain for a minute. When I hear stories of mothers or girlfriends or side chicks or whatever word you need to say, I don't understand what I'm saying, and they know that their daughter or their niece or their granddaughter is being sexually molested by a man in the house. It could be their father. It could be their stepfather. It could be their baby daddy. It could be their boyfriend. And they know it's happening, but out of fear of them being single and being left alone, they look the other way. That makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. I believe, first and foremost, take the spiritual aspect out of it. We need to protect those among us that cannot protect themselves. Amen. And it should just naturally bleed into the church. You know it. New converts struggle with things that seasoned saints don't. Just like natural born children. If I have to tell Amber to not stick this electrical cord in her mouth, there's a problem with Amber. She's a dingbat. But let me tell you something. When there's a 2-year-old up here crawling around, I don't care who tells them. Are you listening to me? Sister Brenda, if you have a great-grandchild and you bring them to church and you're busy talking to Glenna and just fellowshipping and your grandchild is going over this cord and about to stick it in their mouth, I hope you don't get mad when I say, no, 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 and I pick them up and grab them. I hope you wouldn't say, don't touch my grandbaby. Too bad, I ain't stopping yet. Stupid phone. Did you hear it last week when it was going ding, ding, ding? It was Brother Arderi texting me. I'm like, dude, he don't like when he doesn't get a response. Ding, ding, ding. I get done at 19 texts. We have people in this church that God has begun to work with. They have been birthed into the kingdom. They need protection. And they don't need it just from their mom or just from their dad. We need to all pattern ourselves after the goose. Sometimes it can go without even anything being said. We just circle around them. Let me tell you something. If I find out you're bothering one of these little people, you're going to come to blows with me. You don't want to be on my bad side. I'm vindictive, and I got anger issues. You hurt little ones, I hurt you. I'll ask God for forgiveness later. I'm still in mercy. I can still repent, but I can put you in the floor first. I can have something to repent of. I can choke you until you can't breathe anymore and then say, God, forgive me for choking them. And he'll be like, I got you. You think I'm joking? I have a pastor friend in Texas. He told the story. He's a big man. His church is a revival church. They're exploding. And he said he got a bunch of teenage boys coming to church with no inkling to come to church. They were coming for the girls. And they were showing off for the girls. And he's like, I protect my little girls. And he said, I could see him acting up in a service. They were having one of them boogaloo services where everybody's jumping around. You can see kids that are jumping around, ain't got no mind toward God whatsoever. So he was from the platform. I'll give you his name after if you want to ask me. He said, I need every head bowed and every eye closed in this building because God's about to speak in this place. And everybody bowed their heads, and they're running the aisles. They're running, going bananas. And he said he was watching these three boys run the aisles, just showing off, acting up, not a stitch of spirit in them at all. And he said, when every head was bowed and every eye closed, the music's still playing, the boys come making a couple more turns chasing these girls. And he said he just stepped down off the platform like this, all inconspicuous like this. The boy came like this. He said, I caught him up under his armpit, and I rock-bottomed him. He said, I picked him up like this. This man's about 6'5". And he said, all you saw was his feet go up in the air. And he said, I slammed him to the ground. And he laughed. He goes, You ever slam somebody and you feel their life come out of them? You ever hit their shoulders first and they go, he said, while he's laying on the ground, I said, now get up and sit down and act like you got some sense. He led him up. The boy went, and the other two boys were like, and they sat down. And when he got back up on the platform, he said, everybody raise your head. And he said he looked, and his wife was looking at him going, because she knew exactly what he had just done. God's not given us young ones if we can't protect them. God's not going to trust us with innocent souls if we can't protect them. We got to keep the devil out of this place. It's time for the church to quit playing. It's time for the church to start being the church. We can fill this place up. We can reproduce supernaturally. But God is not going to allow His Spirit to be abused by people who don't consider others' safety more important than their own. We need a spiritual wave of adoption to hit this house. The scripture says you cry, Abba, Father, the spirit of the adoption of sons. We need to look, and I'm not talking just about age. If someone walks into this church for the first time and they're 75 years old and God fills them with the Holy Ghost, they are a babe in Christ. They need spiritual adoption, and I, at 50, could be their elder in the gospel. But it's all of our jobs. If one goose decides to reproduce, is it even biologically possible? What if the gander wants to produce, but the goose says, not this year? Can the goose produce by himself? So we need to get rid of the spiritual Lone Ranger mentality that we have. That if the preacher can preach the fire down, we're so fire, we love the fire, we love that stuff. If he preaches that message and gets my shoulder twitching, then all, God's going to fill up the house. That's not how God fills up the house at all. God fills up the house when the goose and the gander get together. You know where they get together? The same place all the time. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new preacher. You don't need a new revelation. You've got to get busy doing what God has called you already to do. You don't need a word from the Lord. The word from the Lord came this morning and said you can understand the spiritual things by watching the natural things. And the pattern of the goose is reproduce and protect your young. And if you do it, we can take over Lakeshore Park just like they do. Wouldn't you love it? Let me ask you something. Wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you love 30 new little gooselings? Wouldn't you love it if I said, kids, get up for Sunday school, and a whole bunch, wouldn't you love it? I love listening to Hector and Nicole. They talk about their son, how he's nuts, and how they have to go to the emergency room all the time, break his leg, break his arm, play sports, knuckle. Katie tells me, she's like, man, he's going to be a good athlete. He's fast. She's like, and when we play outside, I can't get him to slow down. He's just fast, and he's quick. Wouldn't you love it? Now, this is going to sound terrible for a pastor to say. Wouldn't you love 7 arm casts in church next Sunday? Wouldn't you like to sign 4 casts next Sunday? Wouldn't you like a bunch of kids to come up and, like, broke their ankle, neck brace, come in, stitches? You get to tell the story. What happened? Well, me and my brother, we were out in the yard, and he wanted to play catch, but he wanted to play with a rock. And he threw a boulder at me, and when I go, bam! And the parents are like, I don't want to see no more casts. Wouldn't you love some noise? Wouldn't you love some confusion? Wouldn't you love to see a fist fight of two kids fighting over who gets to take the offering? Wouldn't you? I would. I'd be up here taking the offering. I would love it if a kid just standing here and the other kid didn't get a chance and he came up and went to take the plate and the kid with the plate was like, "Whatink!" right on top of his head. I'd love it. I'd love it. Wouldn't you love it for some adults to come in, not know how to act? Start singing, start making noise. They're talking during the service. They don't know what we're doing yet. They're walking around. They interrupt me when I'm preaching. Wouldn't you love it? I would. That's the pattern of the goose. That's the pattern of the goose. You know what gets them in line? It's not what we say. When they needed real instruction, the gander and the goose got silent and something just happened. Sometimes in church, the preacher can get up preaching and it ain't even what he's saying. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. You ever been in them services where the Spirit of the Lord is so strong, the Bible says they can't even minister? The Shekinah glory of God descends into the house. That'll get all of them. There won't be no more. There won't be no more casts. There won't be no talking. The Spirit of God will take over and he'll protect the young. He wants us to do it first. I want you from this day forward to look at geese different. I want every time you see them, I want you to remember this message. I want you to say, you know what? God's called me to two things. He called me to reproduce, and he called me to protect the young. We should be doing both. We can do both simultaneously. Let's have a litter every year. You know how you do it? You stay true to the one that married you. We are the bride of Christ. We stay monogamous to him. We stay in the same place because they don't leave once they get here. And then when they're there, they get about it. They get about it every year. Wouldn't you love it? Could you imagine doubling? Just doubling. If you wanted to take it biologically, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. There's 22 adults in here. So let's just biologically, let's just look at it biologically. We have to pair off because we need a gander and a goose. So we have 11 couples. And we can average 5 a year per couple. We could have 55 gooselings this year. You add 55 and 22 together, what do you get? What's the number 7 in the Bible? The number of completion. We're not counting downstairs because if they're over the age of 3, guess what they can do? They can reproduce. So take the 8 kids downstairs, we got 4 more couples. That gives us 20 more. That puts us at 97. If you add the 8 that I didn't add on, we're over 100. We're at capacity. The seating capacity of this church is 96 people. By simply doing two things, reproducing and protecting the young. When they come up, and they're going to come up real soon, I want you to look at these kids. I want you to look at them. I want you to physically look at them. And I want you to understand what they're up against. Social media is trying to destroy them. And I guarantee you their parents and grandparents are already being inundated by them wanting to be like other kids. They want a phone. They want to be plugged in. They want YouTube. They want Roblox. They want Minecraft. They want all these things. Because they're children. And just like when we were children, sometimes our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles and those that loved us had to protect us from ourselves because we didn't know any better. And you know what helps is when mom and dad get a little bit of support in what they're trying to do, a little bit of help in what they're trying to do, because they're doing everything they can to work jobs and leave them right and get them to church and struggle. You know what helps sometimes is when the parents that brought the kids and they're at wits' end because the kids drove them nuts all morning, for someone in the church that they can trust and that they have confidence in, just say, you know what? Let me watch them. Take a break for a little bit. Here's $30. Go down to Becker's and have lunch. I'll bring them back. Go take some time. Be husband and wife. Enjoy yourself. We'll protect your kids. We've got to love one another just like that. You know someone in the church that's dealing with sickness? Maybe not their own. When's the last time you just called them and said, let me take a little burden off of you today? We're so concerned about speaking in tongues and doing all the church stuff when God's calling us to say, you know what? Let me make dinner for you today. Can I drop a casserole off? It'd be enough for you and so for 2 days. It's one less thing that you have to worry about. We're beating our head against the wall, and God's calling us to simplicity, to look at nature and understand and learn. Consider the lilies. They don't work hard, and God takes care of them. You got somebody in your mind? I know you do. As I was just talking about that, I watched people's eyes close. I watched them concentrate on what I was saying, and I watched them picture people in their minds. So I'm going to call you to be an adult woman and an adult man today and act on the thought that God just gave you. Quit fleecing God. Stop fleecing God. He's already given you your answer. He wants you to reproduce and protect the young. If you disagree, let me be real plain. Honk, honk like a goose. You're wrong. So I'm done. We're going to pray here for a couple minutes, but I'm going to try to sing you the song. And nobody knows it again, so no one's going to hear it. I want you to do this when you go home. Go on YouTube and Google Consider the Lilies. This song is not fast at all. Does anybody know ever heard the song Consider the Lilies? Okay, you want to sing it with me? My voice is not good. I was listening to this church before church this morning, and I was just weeping in my office. It's just an old, there's not even really music to it. It's kind of like an a cappella song, but I'm going to sing it, and then we're going to pray. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin. I don't know all the words to this song, so I'm just going to fill them in. Consider the sparrows, they don't reap or sow, but even God's Spirit, He feeds them so. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And He really cares when your head is bowed low. So consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine. He hangs out the stars. He tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew. Oh, but he's not too busy to care about you. 'Cause we have a heavenly Father above. His eyes are full of mercy, and his heart, it's full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. So consider the lilies, and then you will know. I'm going to sing that second verse one more time. May I introduce you to this friend of mine. He hangs out the stars. He tells the sun when to shine. He really cares when your head is bowed low. So consider the lilies, and then you will know. I'm telling you right now, you're looking for an answer that you already have. You're looking for a call. You're looking for encouragement. You're looking for some sort of prophetic utterance that God's already given you. It's real simple. You have enough Holy Ghost in you right now that it ought to be contagious and you ought to win somebody else. And then when you do, you ought to fight with every ounce of strength to protect them from the adversary of their soul. We don't have time to wait. Some of you, the people that I'm talking about that you need to reproduce, physically live inside your house. They need God. The only way they're going to get them is you. The only preacher they're going to hear is you. The only Bible they're going to read is you. And you've got enough in you to reproduce. And then get them here so that the group can protect them from the predators. There's safety in the house of God. In the multitude of counselors, the Bible says there is safety. And if we'll do those two things, we're going to take over Lakeshore Park. Geese ain't going to have nothing on us. I'm done. I want to tell you one thing before we close. Be thankful that Brother Mike has some common sense. Because Thursday before we left, I literally almost went to Lakeshore Park and captured a goose. And I was going to bring it to church this morning and let it loose in this sanctuary. So if you have nothing else to give God thanks for, thank him that he still has enough control over your idiot pastor for him not to do everything that he thinks of. I want us to come to the front. I'm going to read this last verse of scripture to you. It comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Paul writing says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you today would honestly say by a showing of hands you believe that we are in the last times? Okay, we believe that. Do we believe that? We should, because we are. The scripture says, as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And why do we come together? Let us consider one another to provoke each other to love and to good works. I want to introduce you to some people. I want you to look around this room. Anybody ever sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God? Jesus was on the cross. He looked down to his disciple and to his mother, and he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I'm not Jesus and I'm not a cross. But if you look around this room, behold your brother. Behold your sister. You're not the sister now. Let's provoke one another to love, to good works, and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's power in unity. There's power in love. We need one another. Let's take this circle. Let's, here they come. I told you, here they come. Look at that. See those balloons? You know what those are? Goose eggs. Let's protect them. Let's pray for them. Let's cheer them on. Let's be their biggest supporters. Let's love them. Let's encourage them. Let's show them the way. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer together. If it's appropriate, why don't you grab somebody's hand that's next to you? If it's appropriate, wrap your arm around their neck. Don't let anybody be by themselves. Let everybody be connected. Come on, RJ, get up here. Connect to your something besides your phone. All right, when we pray, I don't care what words you say. I just want you in your mind and in your words. I want you to pray the person you're connected to. And I want you to say, God, help them. God, encourage them. God, strengthen them. God, minister unto them. God, build us together. Help us to be built together, a heavenly building, not forsaking ourselves together. Let's pray as a body right now. Lord, we appreciate you this day. God, you've been good to us. We're thankful for your spirit that is in this place, Lord, and every individual that is assembled today, our brothers and our sisters, Lord, as a family of God, we ask you to strengthen the family this day, God. Encourage us, Lord, as husbands and wives, Lord, as brothers and sisters, Lord, as nieces, as nephews, as children, as grandchildren. Help us, Lord, to do our part in the family, Lord, that the family may grow. Help us, Lord, to reproduce, Lord, and to protect those amongst us, Lord, that need your protection, Jesus. Help us to care for the young, to care for the old, to help the sick, Lord, those that are brokenhearted. God, help us to be an encouragement. Minister unto us this day, God. Help us to know that your presence is with us, Lord, and that we can learn the spiritual things of you, God, by simply observing the things that you have created. You made nature to teach us, God, of you, to help us to humble ourselves before you. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for where we see you're taking us, Lord. All good things come from you, Lord, and we appreciate them in a mighty way. Bless my brother, Lord. Bless my sister, God. Strengthen them. Build them up, Lord. Encourage them. Lead them on that rock that is higher than I, Lord. Plant their feet in a safe place, God. Help us to be the light set on a hill that cannot be hid. Jesus, help us to win this city in your name and to establish your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake hands, be friendly, love one another. You are dismissed at this time in Jesus' name.